Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
I know I have bitterly disappointed all of you. I'm embarrassed that I have put you in this position. For all that I have done, I am so sorry. I have a lot to atone for.
Faith does one's own religion, but must respect all major world religious traditions.
Islam is and must be an important part of the solution in confronting violent extremism.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It is seldom in church history that someone is known almost exclusively for the way they died. I mean, there are a few, of course. Stephen would be one because we know so little of Stephen in the book of Acts other than how he died. He is probably second most famous martyr. If you would qualify Jesus as a martyr, he'd be first. Third, without a doubt, in church history is the man that the church remembers on this day, Polycarp. You might not know the name, but he certainly is significant, not only in the way he died, but also in his proximity to the apostolic era. He dates all the way back to the second century, and that's a long ways back. We'll talk about Polycarp, bishop and martyr of the second century, here in the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin our conversation on Polycarp, and then a little bit later, in fact, for the rest of this hour, Dr. D.A. Carson will be our guest. We'll talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ironies therein, what is affected by Christ's suffering and death on the cross, and his resurrection. Dr. Carson's written a new book among his many. It's titled Scandalous, The Cross and Resurrection of Jesus. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Twitter us at IssuesETC or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, February the 23rd. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Let's talk about that event for which he is probably most famous, his martyrdom. How did he die?
He was burned at the stake in front of a cheering crowd.
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Well, they were going to throw him to the beasts, but then, I mean, the whole thing, it's so interesting because we have what is very rare in the apostolic era or in later Christianity, we have an authentic account of his martyrdom. And, you know, we have a lot of legendary martyrdoms, a lot of stories of martyrs, you know, in the 4th, 5th, 6th centuries and onward that have been, you know, elaborated, a lot of Christian imagination added. But even most critical scholars agree that the martyrdom of Polycarp is authentic, that it dates from the time he was killed, which is probably in 156, February 23rd, 156. And it's fascinating for its detail. He's brought in by the proconsular governor of the province. That means a man who had been a consul of Rome and is now, you know, out in the sticks taking care of this province in Asia Minor. And he's brought in and accused of atheism, which is the charge that Christians were murdered under because they did not worship the gods of the Roman state religion. And so they were considered as atheists. And there are so many details in this. We got to get at least one of my favorites. And so the proconsul, who is this, you know, very worldly, very educated guy, you know, he doesn't want to kill Polycarp. He thinks this is all kind of, you know, lowbrow and silly. But, you know, so he just tells him, look, Polycarp, just burn some incense to the genius of Caesar. That is, you know, acknowledge that the spirit of Caesar guides the empire, and say away with the atheists, and you'll be fine. And Polycarp, read this, with solemn countenance, looked upon the whole multitude of lawless heathen that were in the stadium, waved his hand at them, and groaning, looked up to heaven and said, away with the atheists. And so, you know, it's it only gets better from there. I mean, so you get a real sense of Polycarp's personality. You know, he's another time he tells the governor, look, you know, I've been serving my Lord Christ for 86 years. He's never done anything bad to me. Why would I deny him now? And on and on and on, all kinds of great quips. He was quite a character as well. He goes to his martyrdom not only with faith but with panache.
Why not just a pinch of incense to the brilliance of Caesar? And why not, if he can say away with the atheists of the heathen that surround him in the stadium, why can't he say that, since it's also a – I mean, we'd argue today, hey, the Romans didn't understand the Christian religion. They're not atheists. He could say it with a clear conscience because he'd be denying something that and still be able to retain his beliefs because the Romans didn't know what Christianity was all about.
Yeah, this gets to the heart of why the Christians were really murdered. They were killed as political dissenters. And the Romans have no interest in religion. You know, they made a deal with, for example, I mean, they cut a deal going way back to the first century B.C. with the Jews. You know, they let them have their religion. There was no great persecution of Jews, except when the Jews were politically revolting against Rome. The Christians, likewise, are not killed for their religion from the Roman perspective. They are killed because they called Christ king and not Caesar. They are killed because they acknowledged something higher than the Roman state, which for Rome is the Roman religion. And so there was no middle ground. To drop the pinch of incense to Caesar was to say he is Lord instead of Christ. To say Christ is Lord is a political statement. And so this is fresh for Christians today, especially in an American landscape where there are so many competing, you know, quasi-Christian voices who want to almost deify the American state. The martyrdom of Polycarp is a great document to read to remind us, put not your trust in princes, they are but men. Christ is Lord and King, and nobody else on earth is.
What did the martyrdom of Polycarp, not only among his contemporaries, but also in the centuries that followed and waves of persecution would come and go, some of them greater than others, what did it do by way of encouraging Christians who would face persecution?
Two things. One, the obvious thing is, you know, here is this wonderful story of this very old man who bravely goes to his death, and not only bravely, but also with a bit of wit and style. And so that's very, you know, uplifting for someone who might be facing martyrdom. But interestingly enough, the first couple pages of the Martyrdom of Polycarp is dedicated to telling people, do not go looking for martyrdom. And the first story the Martyrdom of Polycarp tells is about a Christian who kind of volunteered, you know, to go to the stadium, turned himself in, as it were, and then he chickened out and did end up denying his faith. And the editor of the Martyrdom makes the note, hey, this is why you don't go looking for martyrdom. It is not something to be sought after. If the Lord wants you to be a martyr, you'll end up as a martyr. Don't go looking for it. And so that kind of, again, that this marks this as a true document at the time that is giving sage advice. I mean, it's from the real world. This is not one of those legendary medieval martyrdoms. This is a real world document giving good, solid advice and a true picture of Polycarp.
Two quick final questions with about 30 seconds apiece. Given the fact that he dies in 156, he's 86 years old, that would put his birth at 70 A.D., could he have, in fact, at least, if not literally and figuratively, sat at the feet of John the Apostle?
Yeah, that's a pretty early tradition going back to Papias that Polycarp did, in fact, know John in John's later years in Asia Minor. So, yeah, I mean, he could have been a man in young maturity in his 20s when John was still alive. So that's certainly a possibility, but it's not claimed in Polycarp's martyrdom necessarily.
Finally, why should the church set aside a day to observe the person and work of a second century martyr like St. Polycarp? 30 seconds.
For the same reason we acknowledge all the martyrs as an inspiration to our faith, to turn away from the world in every aspect of our life, for if they've even shed their blood, then certainly we can look to their faith for inspiration to deny ourselves in our everyday life and cling to Christ alone.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Folks, if you're a fan of the early church, check out the New Issues, Etc. YouTube video titled A Cloud of Witnesses. It's really good. You'll find it under the support page at issuesetc.org. Heath, thank you.
Always good to be here, Todd.
I love these words recorded at Polycarp's death by one of his congregants. As he is being put to the flames, he prays, "I bless you, O Lord, that I have been thought worthy of this day and hour to be numbered among the martyrs and share in the cup of Christ for resurrection to eternal life, for soul and body in the incorruptibility of the Holy Spirit." Here is a man who understands what it means to suffer after his Savior. Not to suffer as his Savior did. No, that's unique. That's only Jesus Christ who suffered for us. But to suffer after him, for the sufferings of Christ to overflow into his life too. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. D.A. Carson about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.